You know, I quoted this, the phrase last week. Some people say that heaven and hell are right here on earth. So, and these people probably would be annihilationists, right? They would probably believe, well, you know what? The best that we're going to have if heaven is here, the worst that we're going to have if hell is here. So when I die, you know, I'll just experience whatever. But I'm experiencing, and some people will say that I'm catching it right now. You know, I had relatives in my family that every time I would see them, every time I would talk to them, they would tell me, man, I'm catching it right now.
Welcome to Anchored in Jesus, the teaching ministry of Dr. William R. Glaze, founder of the Pittsburgh Layman's Bible Institute, author, and senior pastor of Bethany Baptist Church. Today, Dr. Glaze will continue his series titled, Beginning with the End in Mind. So let's join Dr. Glaze for the conclusion of Hell.
In verse 2. And many of those who sleep in the dust of the earth shall awake, some to everlasting life, and some to shame, and look at the operative word here, everlasting contempt or condemnation. Everlasting contempt or condemnation. In Matthew chapter 25, our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, giving one of his more memorable sermons, said in Matthew chapter 25, in verse 46, and these shall go away into, here we go with the operative term again, everlasting punishment. Everlasting punishment. So the scripture is very clear. You can't get around that. If we are Bible-believing Christians, you know, we can let the world intimidate us and try to talk us down off of our biblical position, because we know that it's not politically correct today to say certain things. So we can be backed down off of it. But the fact of the matter is that the scripture does say, whether people want to accept it or not, that for some people, they are going into everlasting condemnation. And I don't know about you, but everlasting to me, well, somebody said, what does everlasting mean in the Greek? It means everlasting. Now, there are some misconceptions that I want to straighten out about this place of eternal condemnation, because a lot of people have the wrong ideas. Some people say there will be no such place in the afterlife because it's here on earth. You know, I quoted this, the phrase last week. Some people say that heaven and hell are right here on earth. So, and these people probably would be annihilationists, right? They would probably believe, well, you know what? The best that we're going to have if heaven is here, the worst that we're going to have if hell is here. So when I die, you know, I'll just experience whatever. But I'm experiencing, and some people will say that I'm catching it right now. You know, I had relatives in my family that every time I would see them, every time I would talk to them, they would tell me, man, I'm catching it right now. I'm catching it right now. So that's a misconception, right? Some people believe that they're going through it now, and that's it, all right? Second one, all my friends will be there. I don't know how many people have told me that. And the fact is, I hope I'm not one of your friends. Now, as we're going to see here in a second, your friends might be there, but it's not going to be what you think. It's not going to be like you think. A third thing, and this is probably the biggest misconception, and so you need to write this one off right now, that a lot of people think this place of eternal condemnation is a place controlled by a man who is in front of a burning furnace, wearing a red suit, carrying a pitchfork with pointed ears, a tail, and a goatee. Wipe that out of your mind. That's a misconception. And you know what? I think that's why the world looks at Christians who believe the Bible and believe what the Bible says about the eternal state. That's why they look at Christians like they're crazy. They look at Christians like they're idiots. Why? Because you mean to tell me you believe that there's actually a man with a red suit, with a pitchfork, a tail, pointed ears, and a goatee? The man that's on the hot sauce bottle. You mean to tell me? You mean to tell me that's what you think is going to happen? And see, when you tell people that, you look crazy, right? Because that's, if you told me that, I'd be done with you right there. And that, but see, that's the concept that many Christians have. That's the concept that's been promoted to the world. And so when they look at that, they automatically reject that because that looked like some type of cartoon character. And so how can I take that seriously? So that is a misconception. A third one is one that I've often heard, and it is that it is a tactic used by preachers to scare people into living righteously. That, you know, that the preachers use this topic, they use this subject to scare folk into getting saved. Well, you know, I'll be honest with you, there probably has been some preachers that have used it as a scare tactic. You know, I'll be honest with you. I really didn't want to preach this message today. I really didn't want to preach it. But, you know, the Lord spoke to me and said, I got some messages that I want you to preach. As I thought about New Year's and I thought about new beginning, for some reason the Holy Spirit put in my mind, begin with the end. That's what was in my spirit. Begin with the end. So, you know, maybe I misheard. I don't know. So, you know, some preachers have used this as a scare tactic to scare people into living righteously. But, again, this is what the Bible says. And we go by what the Word of God says. What are the biblical descriptions of eternal condemnation? It's not you sitting around a campfire singing Kumbaya with all your buddies. It's not a little red man running around poking people with a pitchfork. It's not the concepts that we see that Hollywood has presented. But when we think about this place of eternal condemnation. Now, again, let me go back and review because I don't want to lose anybody, right? We said there are three groups of people that don't want to be with the Lord, okay? You are here today. Hopefully you have accepted Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. Heaven is a prepared place for prepared people so that when you close your eyes in death, you're going to wake up in the presence of the Lord. 2 Corinthians 5:8 says, to be absent from the body is to be prostantheon, to be face to face with the Lord. So when your loved ones die that knew Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior, as soon as they closed their eyes in death, they woke up in the presence of the Lord. Some folk don't want to go to be with the Lord. And they have made it very clear. The atheist, the heathen, and the natural man, they don't want to be with the Lord. So what is it like? Where do they go when they close their eyes in death? There is a description in the Bible that lets us know there are four key things about the place that they go. The first thing is that it's a place of pain and suffering. In Matthew chapter 8 and verse 12, Matthew chapter 8 and verse 12, Jesus says, but the sons of the kingdom shall be cast out into outer darkness. There shall be weeping and gnashing of teeth. The reason that there's weeping and gnashing of teeth is because people are in pain. We gnash our teeth when we're in pain. I know I've been having some problems with my leg, and sometimes just getting up out of the car, it takes me 5 minutes to get out of my car sometime because I'm like, what's that? Gnashing the teeth. Weeping. You ever heard somebody say, man, it hurts so bad I want to cry. Jesus said that this place of eternal condemnation will be a place of weeping and gnashing of teeth. It'll be a place where people experience excruciating pain. I don't know how God makes this happen. I just know what the Word of God says. Now, again, I'll go back and reflect on what was said earlier. Some people say, well, this place is not a literal place, but it's a symbolic or figurative place. And the fact of the matter is, whether it's literal or symbolic, either one, I don't want to be there. Because even if it's just a state of mind, even if it's just a emotional thing that's going on, you know, that's still, you know, sometimes it's not the pain in your body. Sometimes it's the pain in your spirit. And so this place is a place where people are in pain and suffering. In Matthew chapter 25, in verse 30, Jesus said that it was a place of loneliness. Matthew 25, in verse 30, and cast the unprofitable servant into outer darkness. There shall be weeping and gnashing of teeth. Outer darkness is representative of the fact that, have you ever been in total, absolute darkness where it was so dark that you could feel the darkness around you? And the sense of loneliness that's there when you're in this outer darkness. And so people that have this idea, well, I want to go to this place because all my friends will be there. Well, they might be there, but it won't be that you'll be able to fellowship with them, because this will be a place of outer darkness, a place of loneliness where you are out there just left to your thoughts, left to your devices, schemes that you did while you were here on this earth, and you will think about that, dwell on that for eternity, that this will haunt you. The rich man said, Father Abraham, send Lazarus to my brothers that he might tell them about this place and that he might tell them what they need to do, not to come here. And why is it that as this man was eternally condemned, why is it that that was the only thought that came to his mind? How come he didn't say, man, I remember eating those cheeseburgers with them? Or I remember when we sat down and we played golf together. How come he didn't come up with that? But he said, tell them about this place. Because he was left alone with his thoughts. And people in eternity are left alone with their thoughts. And probably one, again, this is not Bible, but this is just me. I would think that it would be like if you did something and you ended up getting in trouble, that the average person would sit down and think, how did I get here? What did I do? How did I get myself in this situation? How did I not do the things that I needed to do to not end up where I'm at today? So I would have to believe that one of the thoughts that people would have in eternity is the fact that I did something or I didn't do something that led me to this place. Now, if we look at Philippians, if you'll turn there, Philippians chapter 2, Philippians chapter 2, the Apostle Paul says this, let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, who being in the form of God, thought it not robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation and took upon him the form of a servant and was made in the likeness of men. And being found in fashion as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. Wherefore God also hath highly exalted him and given him a name that is above every name. Watch this now. That at the name of Jesus, every knee should bow, of things in heaven and things in earth and things under the earth, and that every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of God the Father. Pastor Glaze, what does every mean in the Greek? It means every. Every knee, every tongue shall bow. So at some point, these folk who have gone on to eternal condemnation, that they have stopped by the throne of Jesus Christ, and that they have said, man, I didn't realize it. I didn't understand it. All them times when the atheist, I denied you. All those times when, as the naturalist, I wanted to have nothing to do, that there were more important worldly and earthly things for me to do. All those times as a heathen that I wanted to cut cord with you, that now I see that you are Lord, and I confess you, Jesus Christ, as Lord. And the old commercial used to say, pay me now or pay me later. I'm so glad that one Sunday evening over in Turtle Creek, Pennsylvania, on a stormy night, that Pastor Glaze bowed his head, bowed his knee in an old country church over there, confessed that Jesus Christ was Lord, and paid him for what he wanted for my salvation. Thank God that I've made that confession. And hopefully, if you're sitting here today, that you've made that confession, that you have accepted Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. So you've already confessed. You've already bowed your knee. You've already confessed with your tongue. And you don't have to do it again. So when these folks are left to their thoughts for eternity, I would have to believe that one of their thoughts would be, I'm here because I refuse to bow my knee and confess with my tongue. This place is a place of helplessness. Many of us, when things happen, there are places that we can turn to for help. If we get sick, we can turn to the doctors for help. If we have problems with our house, we can turn to the plumbers and the electricians and people of that nature for help. If we have problems with our car, we can turn to the mechanic and get help. Here in this eternal condemnation, people will cry out for help, and there will be no help. In Revelation 9:2, it describes this place as a bottomless pit. And the idea is, if you are in a bottomless pit, then basically you are in a free fall. And that free fall is an unending free fall. And as much as you would want somebody to throw you a line or somebody to drop you a cord to help them out, that it's not going to happen. And maybe for those individuals, Psalm 2 might come back. When those individuals said, let us cast his cords asunder and let us break his bands. And so it's a place of helplessness, where people will cry out for help, but there'll be no help. You know, thank God, in this life, again, we can cry out for help. And there are people that will help us. There were people that will come to our rescue. But can you imagine what it's like to be in constant need of help and not being able to find any help, not having anybody to turn to or anybody to call? It's a place of helplessness. And then probably the most devastating thing about eternal condemnation is that it is a place where God is absent. Last week we talked about heaven, and we said the best thing about heaven was not the streets made of gold, not the pearly gates, not the walls made of jasper, not the angels, not the patriarchs, none of those individuals, none of those things. The greatest thing about heaven was that it's where the presence of God is at. And that's what we look for, to enter into his presence, to go into the presence of God. Well, the greatest thing about heaven is the worst thing about eternal condemnation, and that is, it is the place where God is absent. Oh, God knows what's going on. God understands what's going on. But, you know, there was a a song that I used to listen to. It's called The Wreck of the Edmund Fitzgerald. And it talks about these sailors who were on a boat. I believe it was on Lake Erie. And they must have hit a ice berg or something, and the boat started to sink. And it said that this boat just started to sink. And as the boat was sinking, and guys were realizing that the boat was sinking and there was nothing they could do. And in the song, Gordon Lightfoot, he says this: "Does anyone know where the love of God goes when the days turns to hours? Does anybody know where the love of God goes when you go through situations?" Those guys on that Edmund Fitzgerald, as they sank on that boat, where did the love of God go? And in this place of eternal condemnation, where's the love of God at? Does anybody know where the love of God goes? And here we see the love of God is absent. Not being able to reach out and hold on or call on the name of the Lord. You know, even people that don't believe in God, the heathen and the naturalists, even they will say, "Lord, help me." Now, they don't mean it like we do. This is just an expression that they use. So people have this natural tendency to say, "Lord, help me." All right. But here, folk will cry out for God to help them, and there will be no help. Yeah, we sing the song, "I hear his hand of mercy," or "I see his hand of mercy, and I hear his voice of cheer. And just the time I need him, he's always near." Think about that. I see his hand of mercy. I hear his voice of cheer. And just the time I need him, he's always near. The love of God, the presence of God, is absent in eternal condemnation. Matthew 25:41 said that this is a place that wasn't even created for human consumption, occupation. The presence of God is absent. As we close the message today, again, I would have much rather preached something else. I got so many more that's burning in my spirit, but maybe somebody need to hear that today. Somebody need to understand that, and as I said earlier, you make the call. Can you put that one slide back up there, Brother Jeff, where it talks about the different views, universalism and annihilationism, and you make the call. I'm leaving it up to you. You make the call. Because, see, some people don't want to, they don't receive what I said today. I understand that. Charles Stanley, I was in preparation for this message. I usually read about 3 or 4 sermons. I'd go to about 4 or 5 commentaries, study. And one of the sermons that I read was by Charles Stanley when he preached on this. And Charles Stanley said that many people don't want to hear this message. And that's why a lot of preachers are not preaching on it. I said, "Oh, go ahead, Stanley, with your bad self." So, if you don't want to accept what I, because I know there'll be people today that don't want to accept what I had to say, and that's fine. I got mine. I got mine. But maybe you want to believe one of these other ones: the symbolic, the annihilationistic, the rehabilitation, universalism. Those are all things that people believe very strongly. But then we know that there is the biblical.
Thank you for joining us today on Anchored in Jesus. Tune in next time for the first half of Building Your Resume for Heaven. If you would like to request an audio copy or the notes of today's message, Hell, you can contact us at anchoredinjesus.org and request Hell. That's anchoredinjesus.org and request Hell. Or call us at 877-831-5060. When you visit our website, anchoredinjesus.org, you can view many of the other teachings by Dr. Glaze. Dr. Glaze is the author of 6 books. Find out more information about these resources by visiting anchoredinjesus.org or call 877 877- 831-5060. We also invite you to like us on Facebook at Anchored in Jesus Ministries. If you would like to make a financial contribution, please visit our website, anchoredinjesus.org, or send it to Anchored in Jesus at P.O. Box 24034, Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania 15206. Once again, that website is anchoredinjesus.org, or you can send your financial contribution to Anchored in Jesus at P.O. Box 24034, Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania 15206. It's through your prayers and gifts that we remain on the air. Our title, Anchored in Jesus, comes from Hebrews chapter 6, verse 19, which lets us know that Jesus is our high priest and an anchor for the soul. As we conclude today's broadcast, let me remind you, you don't have to be tossed in the storms of life. Your soul can be anchored in the Lord.